Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get right to it. We've got serious issues out there with terrorism and all of the talk about security, also about how much privacy we should be entitled to as individuals. And that is a political debate that is raging. But there are realities that we need to recognize. And I've invited a very, very good guest. I'm not going to say special, although he was a special agent, Christopher Kerr, and he is the author of a book, co-author of a book, RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. The website for the book is RICO, R-I-C-O, RICObook.com. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
It's my pleasure to have you. We're honored that you'd be on the program. I applaud your service to our country. 33 years with the FBI. Good grief. You've seen a lot.
Yes. I was there a long time. I retired in 2005.
All right. Well, and you also, besides you started out in their LA office and then worked briefly as an analyst in the FBI headquarters in DC, and then you were selected as a special agent. You spent 26 years. Wow. Primarily as a case agent on organized crime and drug cases. And then you also were in the criminal division and a supervisor at the FBI headquarters. So again, thank you. With your perspective, and also, and we'll get to the book because I think it's a fascinating subject. Everybody wants to know this kind of thing whenever they have an opportunity to ask somebody like you who has the experience and the knowledge and the perspective. Where are we today? Are we safe? Are we, you know, where are we? Are we going to be okay?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
I think we're safer than we were pre 9/11, and I think that, you know, the public and the media go back and forth on whether they want some intrusive techniques used, and when things are quiet, civil liberties become more of a focus of debate and concern. And when something happens, like the Boston bombing short while ago, something terrible happens, then the questions are, well, why didn't you know? Why couldn't you prevent this ahead of time? So the pendulum swings back and forth in the public debate, I think.
Yeah, greater focus, greater attention, and more money, and all of those things, because when these things happen, it's a wake-up call.
Right. And I think that the one of the untold stories is that there are many, many such plots, maybe not exactly like the Boston Marathon bombing, but many, many plots that have been disrupted and stopped quietly, even without arrests, that the public will never know about.
Well, and it's the old saying that the bad guys only have to be right one time or get it done right one time. We've got to be, as a country, protecting ourselves right every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the book. The book is RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. Tell me about this, because it sounds like a fascinating subject.
Well, it was for us, and I think it would be for any of your listeners that wanted to check it out. I was in my first year of law school. I retired from the FBI and then went to law school at that point, and now do criminal defense work. But middle of my first year of law school, I got interested in a case involving a retired agent by the name of Paul Rico, 78 years old, who was arrested in 2003 in his condo in Miami Lakes, Florida, and charged in a murder conspiracy with Whitey Bulger, who's, as you know, now on trial in Boston, and that's being covered every day as a big deal. But he was charged in a murder that happened in 1981 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, involving a self-made millionaire, a real colorful character, by the way, by the name of Roger Wheeler, who was killed at the was shot in the face as he got in his car after a round of golf at the Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a well-known club where he golfed every week. And the one of the detectives in that case became fixed on the idea that this former agent, who was, you know, in the employ of the murder victim, in Miami, as like a director of security, he was retired from the FBI at that time, that Rico might somehow be involved in this thing. In any event, we got interested, and I say we, I mean retired assistant director Joe Wolfinger, who retired as assistant director in charge of the training academy, and an investigative reporter by the name of Jerry Sieper, who's right now is the investigative editor of the Washington Times, been around a long time. Got interested in this because, you know, for several reasons. First of all, it was interesting to us that a former FBI agent was charged with murder, particularly a murder involving Whitey Bulger and some a colorful self-made millionaire in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but that he was arrested, you know, 22 years after the murder and taken to Oklahoma, and a state he'd never set foot in, by the way, prior to his removal there in handcuffs. And before he could have a hearing, any kind of a hearing on the charges, even a preliminary hearing on that charge, he died shackled to a jail bed, overdosed, as a matter of fact, with blood-thinning drugs. He'd been terribly abused in jail, had been thrown in the general population with common criminals, and he was sick at that time, and a former FBI agent, law enforcement people are not treated well by other criminals in prison, and I think they knew that when they threw him in there. Anyway, so we got interested, and we were really agnostics about whether or not the agent could have been involved in a murder conspiracy like this. I mean, agents have gone bad in the past. We didn't know for sure what to believe, but we thought it was an interesting story to follow up on, and we were just astounded at the things that we found in following this trail.
Well, we're not going to give it all away, Chris. We're going to we're going to tell them that they've got to get the book, which I'm looking forward to reading myself. Rico: How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. The website is ricobook.com. Quick break, and we'll come back and talk to Chris about terrorism and organized crime, the things that we need to know. Stay right there.
Okay. Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back. Chris Kerr is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, a former FBI agent. And it's, you know, when you say that, 33 years, it's more than that. That's a great service to our country. We're talking about his book, RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents, ricobook.com. And we're also going to take advantage of this time with Chris to talk about, you know, where we are with our world. And I asked him before the break about, are we okay? And he said, yeah, we're doing okay, but we've got to remain vigilant and pay close attention to what's going on. And I want to ask you this, Chris, because this is really essential for us to get to. For us lay people out here that are not as schooled or tuned in as maybe we could be or should be, what are some of the differences in how the federal officials, how they track terrorism and versus, say, organized crime? Are there differences? Is that good? Is it bad? Is it something that, you know, as citizens we need to be aware of? Give us some of your insight.
Well, yeah, I will tell you that it is, in many ways, more difficult. The tools are less effective in many cases in terrorism cases than the tools available to agents working drug and organized crime cases. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, I do.
My wife was an FBI agent. It actually still is. She still works in the same office here in the Tampa area. And she and I shared an office before I retired. After 9/11, I was working drug and organized crime cases. I mean, everybody was working counterterrorism for a while, but she stuck with it, and I went back to my, eventually went back to my drug and organized crime cases. And if I got a tip that a home was being used as a headquarters for a drug dealing operation, I could issue subpoenas very easily signed by a low-level supervisor and get telephone records and all kinds of records very easily, okay?
Okay.
If she had the same kind of tip that a building, an office, or a home was being used as a headquarters for Al-Qaeda, it might take her a month to get the same information.
Okay, so the obvious question is why? Why make it so hard for such a thing that it could even be more dangerous for us as a society? I mean, drugs can be very bad for our society, but something that's an immediate attack thing, why not?
Well, it struck me as crazy, and I actually wrote a law review article on the topic after I left law school entitled What the Real Jack Bowers Really Need, a New Subpoena, because they need the same kind of subpoena power that drug and organized crime investigators have, and this all goes back to the same concerns that you see raised in the current debate over what NSA is doing and this phone information, this bank of phone information. And believe me, I understand why the federal government is doing what it's doing.
Sure.
with the banking of the phone information, having had to deal with the phone companies in my criminal investigations, I know how this stuff is organized.
You're not talking
and how
about
difficult it is.
Yeah, you're not talking about. I mean, you're talking about accessing records and information. You're not talking about just trying to get phone service.
Right. Yeah, exactly. to get a subscriber.
Right.
You got a phone number that
right.
your bad guy is calling, and you want
right.
to know who's got this number.
Yeah.
Who is he in contact with? Well, you'd want to do the same thing in a terrorism investigation, obviously. And it's very, even though I was able to get a subpoena very easily, while the counterterrorism investigator had a much, much more difficult time. Because, you know why? Because of the concern, you know, based on history, that the government will be invading First Amendment political advocacy.
I gotcha.
Right, and the sensitivity, but really, it's a miss. The technique is not the problem. There, it's whether or not the FBI or another federal agency should be conducting the investigation at all is the issue.
That's an interesting question. If not them, then who?
Right.
That becomes a question, right? Then who would it be?
Right, but I mean, and the problem, what we face here with the tendency toward political correctness. Today is that a lot of the radical Islamists who become terrorists, there's a religious element to it,
right.
and a political element that creates a lot of sensitivities. Whereas the drug dealer and the member of the mafia, for example, nobody's concerned about their First Amendment rights,
right?
You know, and so they're much more apt to give investigators powerful tools that can be easily used. The problem is that the the making it more difficult to use the investigative tool doesn't, all it does is throws roadblocks into the way of those who are conducting legitimate investigations. It doesn't stop the government. If the government is intent on abusing a particular group or invading the privacy of someone they have no business investigating, they can do it anyway. It's going to make it more difficult, but in the process, it makes it much more difficult for all of the agents who are actually trying to track down leads on terrorism cases. Frankly, that's why it's one of the things that I see that went wrong with the covering of the tips that we got in the Tsarnaevs from the Russians and so forth. There are so many restrictions on what the agents are able to do and what kind of questions can be asked and whether they can go to the mosque and how long the investigation can be kept open. And I'll give you another concrete example. If I issued thousands of subpoenas for phone records in drug cases, and sometimes the phone company would send me the wrong information, they'd send me somebody else's records, they'd send me, you know, the wrong time period or whatever, I put it in an envelope and file it away. It would never see the light of day, and no one would care. U.S. attorneys' offices issue grand jury subpoenas, you know, on the authority of just some line assistant, U.S. attorney, some prosecutor with no oversight, and they get information that's incorrect all the time. It's just filed away. Nothing happens to it. If an agent uses what's called a national security letter in a counterterrorism investigation, and the phone company sends them an extra month's toll records for a phone that they're legitimately, you know, should be getting access to the records for, that's a day's worth of work.
Wow. Wonderful.
explaining why you committed this error.
So you know what I hear, Chris? I hear that there is a real problem with the dolphin getting caught in the tuna net. That's what's happening here. I mean, it's like everybody gets tangled up in this bureaucratic, politically sensitive issue, and it creates a lot of challenges. Let's do this. Let's take another quick break.
Okay.
Chris Kerr is our guest, former FBI agent, author, co-author of RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. The book can be found at ricobook.com. Quick break, right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Chris Kerr. He is our guest today, legal expert, former FBI agent, and co-author of RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. RICOBook.com. Okay, I got another good question for you, Chris.
Okay.
Given what we talked about before the break, are there any proposed changes to the way that officials can track terrorism that you're seeing out there? Is there hope that this net can get untangled?
There's less hope now after all the controversy over this NSA stuff. Which
so that's
going to
blow
totally
back up
misguided.
The sensitivities.
Right. Because after former FBI director William Webster did a report on what went wrong with the Major Hassan, the Fort Hood massacre,
right?
The investigation and what led up to that. And one of the things he advocated in there was the use of administrative subpoenas, similar to what we use in drug cases, for counterterrorism cases to make it easier to get these kind of records. But I think that's going to fall on dead ears at this point. I mean, I'll tell you how strange things have gotten. Right after I keep coming back to the Boston Marathon bombing, but it's the most recent terrible attack. James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, gave an interview to the Washington Post, and he took it upon himself to brag about the fact that the National Counterterrorism Center had received a glowing report card on its compliance with all the rules for collection of data. I think the parents of that 11-year-old boy that was blown up in Boston probably were not real impressed by their good report card.
No, I'm sure not. That would
I know we have to follow these rules, but I mean, come on. What are our priorities?
Well, so this is going to put the opportunity to give more tools to the guys fighting terrorism. It's going to make it, I'm hearing you say it with this whole NSA leak and all of the stuff going on there, it's going to make it harder.
You trust these agents with guns.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and there's so much oversight. And really, all subpoenas, you know, throughout history, the subpoenas that the assistant United States attorneys, the prosecutors in the federal system use, right, that they issue on their own authority for anything in the world they're interested in seeing.
Mm.
The control on that is that there's an audit trail.
Right.
You know, if they're misusing these things, some inspector, some judge, some, you know, attorney who's an adversary is going to discover in an audit trail that these have been misused, or a congressional investigation. And that's what you get, because that's the control. Also, there's a judicial oversight of subpoenas by virtue of the fact that if as an FBI agent, I come in and drop off a subpoena to you in your office for some of these records,
mm-hmm.
and you think it's improper or it's overbroad or it's, you know, whatever, you can just crumple it up and throw it in the trash. And the burden then is on me to go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and get somebody to go to the United States District Court and convince a judge that that subpoena should be enforced.
Wow.
So, you know, there's so much, it's more complicated than most people think, but there are many, many more controls than people are aware of also.
Well, and thank God for that, because we don't
right.
we don't want it to be something where there's too much concentration of authority and power. But
and
you know, the other thing I'm going to have to ask you about, you know what's coming, Chris, is I got to ask you about this whole NSA Snowden deal. What's the latest? Have they found him? Do they know where he is? What's happening?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to believe that they haven't found him
yeah.
yet. And they may know exactly where he is. It's a matter of legal process.
I got you.
You know, extraditing people from foreign countries is... You know, I've been involved in it, and it's very, very complicated.
Is it an oversimplification in the press that we've been seeing of late, this whole thing of where the question is put to us as hero or villain kind of thing? I mean, is that an oversimplification of what's going on here?
You know, I don't know. But
yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to have chaos and just anarchy.
You can't. You got to follow the rules. We've been talking about that before. You got to follow the rules, whether he did the right thing or wrong thing. You got to follow the rules, right?
Absolutely. Otherwise, you know, any low-level employee can give up secrets that endanger all the rest of us. They can take it upon themselves to decide. And oftentimes, a person like Snowden doesn't have the big picture as to how this information all fits together and is being used. You know,
he sees something he doesn't like. He says, "I have no recourse." At least that's his opinion of how to affect change. So I'm just going to spoil the parade or out all this, and doesn't have, as you said, doesn't have the perspective. But the fundamental thing here is break the rules, and there has to be consequences, or we have no checks and balances that you spoke about before, and we have no way of really having an organized society,
right.
let alone protect us.
Right, and when politics gets involved, I admit the system does sometimes go off the rails, and that's what we found in our investigation of this,
sure.
this case involving Paul Rico. Basically what we ended up with was that he was framed by two mobsters, both of whom, one of whom has already testified in the in the Bulger trial, and the other one who definitely will testify. All to save themselves the death needle in Oklahoma and Tulsa, they framed Rico, put him in this murder for the Tulsa authorities. And also we found out that Paul Rico was actually a real hero in the war on the mob from the days when Bobby Kennedy finally got the FBI involved in investigating the mafia. He wrote the book on it. He put the head of the New England Mafia in prison twice. And
excellent.
Made some enemies like F. Lee Bailey and some other powerful political enemies that came back at him when he was old and weak.
All right. Well, let's do one more quick break. Chris Kerr is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is Rico, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents, ricobook.com.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have a special treat with us. Chris Kerr's been our guest, and we're talking about terrorism and crime and the things that we need to know. And of course, we've got a couple minutes here, Chris, and I wanted to ask you, you know, we hear all these things. So for us out here, us regular everyday citizens, what can we do? What can we do with when we see things that are questionable or that we think are unusual? You know, we all are used to hearing the threat level is orange. You know, we all are used right. to hearing that in the airport. Or if you see a suspicious bag, make sure you alert. We've all heard all that. But beyond, you know, some of that, that superficial stuff, which is very, I mean, it's important, but beyond those things we hear on a regular basis, what else can we do if we see something that just looks weird or that raises a red flag, be it crime or potential terrorism or just fraudulent activity? You know, if we all get involved and we help, we can make a real difference. So what Absolutely. Can we do?
Yeah, those threat levels always. I mean, I always wondered, what is it? Are you just supposed to be more worried depending right. on the color?
Yeah, the threat level is now the color of a navel, orange. Or now it's the color of the sun. I mean, it's just
all right, everybody be more scared.
Yeah. So what do we do? What do we do?
Well. You know, I mean, I think you should be alert. I mean, somebody must have, like the Tsarnaevs, someone certainly must have seen them testing some sort of devices somewhere. Mm. And they should have called and reported that to the police and or the FBI.
Right.
Called in and made an official report and have somebody document it. And, you know, I mean, that's really all that individual citizens can do.
You don't have to be a vigilante or take the matter in your own hands. You just need to report it.
Absolutely. Okay. No, you should not, as a matter of fact. You should report this to either the local police or to the FBI, anything you see suspicious.
Yeah, and let the professionals take over and do what needs to get done, right? I mean, that's right. their job.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for being on the program. I will say it again for all of us out here in the world that you and other people that have served our government well, 33 years in the FBI. I think that's fantastic. We only can imagine the work that you've had to do and the stresses and the challenges. And of course, there's plenty of challenging jobs in the civilian workforce, but we do appreciate your service to our country.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to remind our listeners that Chris Kerr has been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, legal expert, former FBI agent, co-author of the book RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents, ricobook.com. And be sure to check that out. Chris, thank you again for being on the program.
Thank you.
You're Bye. Welcome.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.